Welcome to the session on privacy models. We're going to talk about different models that exist in the blockchain ecosystem, particularly ones that apply to enterprises. There's been a lot of work that's kind of evolved over this space and it's continuing to evolve. And we want to talk through what are some of the most prominent ones that exist out there today. And then I'm going to show you a demo on how this actually functions in the real world. So let's take a quick look at different models that are applied to privacy of transactions. And maybe to take a step back, what we're talking about from a privacy angle in this session is particularly around the payload of the transaction. So in a model that Quorum has kind of pioneered out here and others are kind of working on as well, it is something where we have, if you look at the diagram on the left side here, we have two different networks running simultaneously, essentially. And so basically the green lines that you see there between the nodes is what we would call a public network. Now, it's still a private blockchain. It just basically means that if you send a transaction on those green lines between any of those nodes, anybody who's connected to that network can go read the details of that. So if it was a smart contract, the state details that exist in there. The yellow lines are ones that are set up to basically do private channels or private kind of models that goes between those. And so the way that works is when I go to put a smart contract or a different transaction on the blockchain, I'm going to specifically use someone's keys and say, hey, I know that your node exists over here. I'm going to use your key to encrypt the data. This way, other people can see that a transaction exists, but there's no way for them to see the details of what exists out there. And this applies at the smart contract level or at the transaction level. So when we walk through our demo later, I'll show you how that actually looks in the real world. We'll have a multi-node network, and we'll do a encrypted transaction between two of them. The other guy will prove that he cannot see that. And the nice thing about this model is it kind of overlays with existing, in this case, Ethereum, very nicely. So instead of you having to change all your API calls and things like that, it's a very kind of nice, elegant plugin where basically you're just having to provide an extra parameter, which is the key that you want to encrypt the data with. Beyond that, everything else functions as normal. Now, the thing to keep in mind is this is retaining some of the decentralized properties of blockchain, which is very nice, because we can have multi-parties that are seeing those transactions in the private side as well as on the public side. So we have a nice mix there where we can move between those two. Another model that's pretty popular out there, and this one is primarily, if you look at something like Hyperledger Fabric or even Corda from the R3 guys as well, it is very much around the specific need to know. So instead of, you know, a transaction existing, people understanding a transaction exists but can't see the details, in this case, it's very targeted. It says, I have node one, he wants to talk to node two in this consortium. The other nodes have no idea what's going on there. Now, obviously, there's other things that can be overlaid on top of this. Corda brings the notion of a notary in there, which can be a third party who can validate a transaction as well. But you should really think of this as we don't want any data leakage at all. We want to have a very targeted peer-to-peer conversation that's encrypted and is still leveraging the ledger technology. But in this case, we're kind of moving a little bit back towards the centralized model in some respects because these two peers can do these things. And if they agree on the transaction is committed to their version of the ledger or their, you know, subset of the ledger that they see. All right, so with that, let's jump over and take a look at a quick demo. As I mentioned, we'll walk through what exists on Quorum. And to show you really quickly, there's basically what we have here is a Quorum network running. We have seven nodes running here. So this port 22,000 up to 22,006, these are all the ports that are running the RPC port for what we're doing here. Now, what we do is we're going to go ahead and rely on our trusty Truffle tool. And what I've done here is basically created a smart contract. This is actually the build. So here's the Solidity file that has a getter and a setter. We're just storing some plain data. So very simple smart contract. But you'll notice that my configuration looks much different than what we have shown in other demos. This one basically is pointing to an external endpoint. You'll notice that it's hitting a specific port. In this case, this is running on Azure. So we basically have a virtual machine running there that's running all these nodes for us. And then essentially we're talking to node zero here. This is the first one. You'll see that the port number is incremented here. So this is node one and this is node seven because they're basically a zero index array there. And then we're passing in a gas and a gas price there, as well as we're just saying any network can run on there. Now, what's interesting was I already deployed this in the interest of time. So if we just attach to this, and we'll just do Truffle Console, by default, if I hit the first node, we'll see that we're here. And if we do simple storage, we're just going to look at the smart contract directly. We'll see that we have a 7 there. So remember, in our constructor for our smart contract, that's what we set. So that was the default value that's in there. And when I did the migration, actually, what I didn't show you was this is the actual migration when we put the contract up. So we have the simple storage, but we added a couple things. So we passed some gas in here, and we also passed this private 4. Now, this is the key for node 7. So the originator of this will obviously have access to the smart contract. He's the one who's creating it. In this case, it's node 0, the one I just showed you. And node 7 should have access, but node 1 should not have access. So let's take a look at that quickly. So if we hop into node 1, and this should just be called node 1. So we'll attach again through Truffle Console to node 1. And in here, if we run that same command, we see it's 0. It's null. So basically, he cannot read it. And then just to validate, to show you that there's no kind of smoke and mirrors here, we'll go into node, I called it node 6 here. It's actually node 7. And we'll run the same command. Now, this guy should have access because he had a key that was passed in there. And you see he has access, so you can see the number 7 here. So the idea is that as we do transactions on the blockchain, as long as we're passing that extra parameter, which is essentially this over in this extra array here. So typically we pass things like the account, how much gas we want to pass in, but we have an additional value there that we can pass in an array of keys that do that encryption for us. So to wrap this up, I mean, this was the demo on using privacy in blockchains. There's still an emerging technology. There's different technologies coming out to solve this problem. But I hope you have a better sense for how this works, particularly in Quorum is what we showed here, and have an idea how Hyperledger and Corda are handling this as well.